All right, let's talk about stuff right quick. Iwas, and I hope that's the way it's pronounced. I talked about that last year, but I'm going to remind everybody about it because Iwas ends up being mentioned, I think, 6 or 7 times in the Fed Register materials relating to the BRI to Phillips. So this has now become even more important than it was before. It's a prosecution history disclaimer case. Everybody remembers what prosecution history disclaimer is, right? In doctrine of equivalence cases, you've got the doctrine of equivalence, and the control on the doctrine of equivalence, right, is prosecution history estoppel. Prosecution history estoppel is a legal issue. So that means when it goes up on appeal, the Federal Circuit can pretty much do whatever it wants because it's reviewed de novo. Well, for a long time, guess what? There wasn't an analog of that pairing on the literal infringement side. X number of years ago, somebody on the Federal Circuit woke up and said, we got to fix that. So now you have prosecution history disclaimer, which is the analog of file wrapper estoppel on the literal infringement side. So we talked about Aelis last year, and the main thing that you have to remember about Aelis is it now ports in the fact that anything you say during an IPR proceeding, whether you're before or after institution, can be considered during claim construction and relied upon to support a finding of prosecution disclaimer. This is a big deal, which basically means you open your mouth even if it's before institution, and you're going to have to live with it with respect to claim construction. Arendi is just a more recent case that reminds us all that the standard of prosecution history disclaimer is a clear and unambiguous surrender of subject matter. There's a bunch of cases in last year's paper, there's a bunch of cases in this year's paper on specific fact situations, but that's the takeaway on this. Okay, collateral judicial estoppel and claim construction. This has been a bugaboo of the legal system vis-a-vis the Patent Office and United States District Courts and the ITC for a long, long time. Well, it's about to get worse. Those of you who remember Transtech Holding Corp, this is a 2007 case. It has a parallel. This was the original race to the courthouse to see who was going to win the Patent Office Fed Circuit appeal. Was that going to beat the trial court's ruling up to appeal? And essentially, the walk away from this case was that collateral estoppel doesn't apply to claim construction between the trial courts, Phillips, and the PTAB BRI. And the main reason that there wasn't collateral estoppel was the difference in the construction regimens. Well, that's about to change, right? As of November 30th, the PTAB says it's now applying Phillips. So is In Re Trans Texas Holding valid law or not? You will see B&B Hardware versus Hargis mentioned quite a bit in this area. We're going to be talking about this a lot. That's a TTAB case, which more or less says that there is collateral estoppel. Whether we've got collateral estoppel going forward or not, I don't know. I always thought that one of the things that was going to result from Markman seeing that claim construction for the most part is a legal issue is that we were going to end up at some point with some kind of estoppel that worked trial court to trial court, that worked trial court to administrative body, and vice versa. And frankly, Markman was decided in 1995. That's what, almost 30 years ago? I'm still waiting, but I think maybe it's about to start happening because, in theory, if you're using exactly the same claim regimen, right, you should be able to port back and forth between the administrative body and the district court or the administrative body and the ITC the claim construction, right? Wouldn't that make sense? Well, I don't know, but I'm going to tell you the court system and the PTAB has run out of time on this issue somewhere within the next year or so, and you'll see the two most recent Federal Circuit cases on this point. Somebody's going to have to call the ball on this and quit screwing around, or we'll be at this forever, and it's just got to get decided. Stare decisis, okay, all of you remember going to law school? Yeah, stare decisis, the earlier decision usually continues and binds. That's what our legal system is based on, okay? Except Guess who doesn't have stare decisis? Because they don't have presidential cases, except for 8 or 9 or however many we're up to. The PTAB. Everybody's looking at me like I must have that wrong. No, I don't have that wrong. The PTAB is not based on a precedential system. Why? Because of Standard Operating Procedure 2. And what Standard Operating Procedure 2 say, we ain't got no precedential cases until we decide that we got precedential cases. Well, that seems very convenient. Geez, I don't like which way the law's going, so I'll decide which of the earlier decisions bind. Well, sorry, folks, that's the way it works. But there is stare decisis out in the real world, okay? Those of you who maybe remember the case when Chief Judge Davis was still sitting, he wrote a stare decisis-based case here in the Eastern District of Texas, and there are other cases floating around. Knowles Electronic versus Iancu and Ota versus Fiat mention, if you see in Ota versus Fiat, collateral estoppel or stare decisis more or less in the same breath. Now, is stare decisis one way that we're going to get BRI and Phillips, PTAB, and the trial system finally porting across? I don't know. But be aware that it's out there, and these cases were decided March of this year and April of this year. Nobody's forgotten that they're out.